glad we have a hiding place. Find your Bible, please, and look to the book of Psalms, Psalms number 9 this morning. Psalms number 9, and we're going to look at another praise. We are emphasizing Thanksgiving. How many of you have been counting your blessings? I challenge you to count your blessings and name them one by one. This morning I was doing a little bit in my journal, and I realized I had not thanked the Lord for my pen. And I thanked him for my pen and for my notebook and for the light that I could see and the ability to write and be able to see. And so just think about the little things and thank him through this month, especially. Name your blessings, count your blessings one by one. And I forgot to mention to you about the Highway Shepherd outreach this year. Last year, you were so kind. Many of you made bags at home. Now, if you would like to do that, you're welcome to do that. But we are going to meet at 8 o'clock on Christmas Eve morning. And our men's fellowship are going to move their meeting to that morning as well. They're going to probably have some biscuits for us. And so we come at 8 o'clock. And so if you will begin to gather up right now, if you're at home and you're going to do your bags at home, please do not put any fruit in there until that morning. The last year, people were great. They really helped us. We did have some fruit that had been put in there maybe a few days early, and it was a problem. But anyway, if you don't mind, and we will have some fruit here to put in the back, but if you come, if you've never been, if you're new, we started many years ago going on the highways on Christmas Eve morning because of truckers and travelers. And if there's ever been a time in America, we need to be thankful for our truckers and for what they've done. Most people don't understand that during the pandemic, these guys were trying to work, and ladies worked day and night around the clock. Many of the truck stops closed their showers and they closed their restaurants. And so they couldn't find a place to stop and take a shower or to eat or anything else. And yet they had to keep rolling, keep working. And I appreciate that. But we go out on the highway, go to the truck stops, and we give them not only to truckers but to travelers. And year before last, I think we did almost over 1,900 bags. And last year we did 350 as we took them home. But come help us, begin to gather up individually wrapped, not big bags of candy, but let's say individually wrapped, because we put a few little pieces in each bag, but we get plenty of homemade cookies, homemade candies, anything like that you want to bring, but individually wrap each one of them, if you will, please. And we'll have the gloves, and we'll be as safe as we possibly can. We pray God the Holy Ghost will sanctify it, protect it. And so you come. But look forward to that on Christmas Eve morning. And if you can go out with your family, what a blessing it is. Take a few minutes and go up and down the highways and go in the truck stop. We'll give you some instruction. And it'll be a blessing for you to come and do that. And I will just mention briefly, somebody asked me about the Amish trip again this morning. We still have flyers. I need you to go ahead, if you will, if you'd like to go with us. We're going to go see the Sight and Sound. And they're going to be doing David. They're going to start it in March, but we'll be there the last week of April. It'll be a brand new show. Nobody's ever seen it until March when it debuts. But it's going to be great. And we go tour the Amish country. We eat in an Amish home. And it's 4 nights lodging. And you don't have to buy any food. There's buffets for breakfast, buffets for lunch, buffets at supper. You'll be buffeted to death. But it's all included in there. And the travel. And the riding on the motor coach. And we'll have great time together. And we'll pray that we'll have enough to leave from here. And I think we will. So moms and dads, everybody, if you've never gone to Sight and Sound, the auditorium holds somewhere 2,500 to 3,000 people. It's absolutely awesome. It's all Christian based. They'll give an invitation at the end. And so it's a blessing. You have your Bible open. I'm thankful. Our time has really, really got away from us this morning. But I want to share some things that God laid on my heart this morning. I want you to look in Psalms number 9 and verse number 14. That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Turn over to chapter 21 from there. Chapter 21. And notice in the same theme in chapter 21 in verse 1. The king shall joy in thy strength. O Lord, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. rejoicing in your salvation, being thankful for salvation. How many of you are thankful for salvation? Raise your hand. You're thankful for salvation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would minister to hearts. And I pray, God, that God, give me clearness of thought. Give me the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, God, that people in the building and in the media audience would understand, Lord, just crystal clear, the gospel message, and that they might experience salvation and know what it is to be saved. But Father, I pray for those of us who are saved, that God, you'd help us to greatly rejoice in our salvation. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad this morning I'm saved. I don't know what to do. I believe I could run to 2 Egg and back. Aren't you glad you're saved? Thank God. I'm glad I'm saved. What's it mean I'm saved? I've been born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But I was born again. Many of you raised your hand a while ago. You've been born again. You became a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You had a fresh start. You had birthdays and anniversaries. We stood a while ago to recognize birthdays and anniversaries. You have a birth date. But everybody in here must have a birth date spiritually. People say, well, I've been saved all my life. That's too long to be saved. Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be born again. You have to have a time when you got saved, a time when you were born again. Something happened in your life. I'm glad that I'm saved this morning. I'm glad, and by being saved, it means I'm born again. But it also means that all my sins are forgiven. When I trusted Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God came in my heart, the work of salvation in me was He forgave all of my sins. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses. And if you're saved this morning, He's forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future. It's all covered by the blood. And you think about that. I'm sure glad that I didn't have to list all my sins. The ones I could remember were horrible. But wouldn't it be terrible if you forgot one sin, something that you didn't remember, and when you get to heaven, you stood there, and you say, Lord, I confessed all of these sins. He said, but how about this one sin on March the 2nd and such a year? You forgot to mention that one. Oh, He doesn't do it that way. When he bore our sins in His own body on the tree, He shed His blood, He died, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin. I'm thankful that all of my sins are covered by the blood. And thank God, we don't have to answer for them. I'm glad that they're gone forever. But not only did I get saved, was I born again, and did I have all my sins forgiven, but I got a brand new nature. When I got saved, God did a work in my heart. He changed me. I have what Paul calls a new man inside of me. The new man loves the Bible. He loves saints of God. He loves the house of God. He wants to see people saved. He wants to serve the Lord. He wants to grow in the Lord. That's that new man inside of me. There's something inside of me that communicates with God. I can pray. He'll show me things in the Bible. Before I got saved, I couldn't understand anything in the Bible. But now that I've gotten saved, the new man inside of me, the new created man, when I got saved through the Holy Spirit of God, God shows me things in the Bible. And you have to study, you have to seek, but God will reveal things to you. But He'll show you so much it bless you to death. You won't worry about it. You say, boy, there's so much that I don't understand. But what I do understand, I'm way behind on my shouting and praising about. He gave me a new nature, and thank God for that. And when I got saved, I became a child of God, and you did too. In the first John, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father showed bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, we're royalty, real royal. My daddy's name was Henry Clay Cashwell, and my brother Dallas was his son. My brother Howard is his son, and I am his son. And that's a good thing. But I can tell you right now, the greatest thing in my life is when I got saved, I became a child of the King. I became a child of God. And every one of you in here this morning, do you love your children? Say amen. If your children need something, if you can possibly help them, would you help them? Say amen. If they're sick, do you care? Are you worried about them? Are you concerned about them? Yes. Do you try your best to protect them and all those things? Yes. Well, when you got saved, He became your Heavenly Father. You became His child, and He treats you the same way. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm safe. I'm glad my Heavenly Father takes care of me. He feeds the birds and He takes care of me. I'm glad I'm saved. Not only that, but I have the Spirit of Christ inside of me. The Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And when I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came inside of me. And He came in as the earnest down payment. Earnest means a down payment of my eternal life. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me. And every one of you who raised your hand and said you were saved, He lives inside of you. The Spirit of the living God. It's the same Spirit that moved upon the face of the deep in creation. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same Spirit that the New Testament believers had when they demonstrated great power and God resurrected people and people got saved and all the power of God. The same Holy Spirit of God that authored this book is inside of every one of you who are saved. Boy, I'll tell you, you ought to thank God for that. I thank God that I'm saved and I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. I thank God that I've been sealed and that I'm sealed for all eternity. That seal means I'm His. The Lord knoweth them that are His. I'm His. I've been bought with a price. If you're saved, you're His. He knows you, knows all about you. And I'm glad that I'm sealed with and have the earnest of the Holy Spirit of God. But I have everlasting life and I will never, ever perish. I'm getting a little older now and things are giving out, wearing out. I'm a little bit like my friend Farrell Osborne. They asked him one time, did he want to be a donor? And he said, sir, I don't have anything that works. And you feel that way sometimes. But God, the Holy Ghost, is inside every one of us. And He loved us. And He gave us everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. I have everlasting life. I'm not melancholy about getting older or getting down the road. One of these days, I'll get to go to heaven. One of these days, I'll leave this body behind and I'll live for eternity, everlasting life, because I'm saved. And do I love my family? Yes. Do I want to be around you and everybody else as long as the Lord wants to do? Yes. But this world is not my home. I'm heading out of here one of these days. And I have everlasting life. I'm as sure of that as I'm standing in front of you right now, that God forgave me of my sin. He gave me a new nature, gave me the Holy Spirit of God. I was born again, and He gave me everlasting life. I will never perish. And because of that, I have the promise of the resurrection. I'll have a brand new body one of these days. I'll be recognizable. You'll know me when you get to heaven, and I'll know you when you get to heaven. But we'll have a body like in His glorious body. I'm not exactly it will look like, but I know we'll have a body like the Lord's body. It won't be subject to sickness or pain or fatigue, any of those things. It's a body that won't ever wear out. Your hearing will be clear. Your sight will be not dimmed. You won't have any arthritic pain. You'll be like it. And I have that promise. Thank God. I want my doctors to help me about certain things that I don't seem like sometimes they're doing any good. But I know somebody's going to fix me up, sure enough, one of these days. I'll have a brand new body. Amen. Thank God for that. I have the promise of the resurrection, but I have a promise of an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled. He made me part of the family, and He put me in the will. And I have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for me in heaven. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why in the world don't I shout? Why in the world don't I praise God and say, I will greatly rejoice in thy salvation? Would you like to rejoice a little bit this morning and just wave your hands at Jesus and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving my salvation. But if I'm not born again, if I'm not saved, I don't have any of those things. I could be a good moral person. There are great extremes in our nation. There are people who have totally rejected morality. They believe in living after the lust of the flesh. But then there are others, like some of you here and people in our county and in our nation, around our world, who are not given to those type of things. They have just thrown off all restraint. They're not doing what people call so many wicked, perverted, awful things, sexually and drugs and everything else. But they're good people. They have accepted the morality of Christianity, but not the message of Christianity. They believe you ought to be a good husband, you ought to be a good wife. You ought to be kind to your children. And so they'll spend a lot of time with their family. They'll do vacation and they'll be involved in gymnastics and ballet and ball and da-da-da and all those things. And they're good parents and they're hard workers and they're good providers and they enjoy nature. But if we've not been born again, we don't have any of the rest of them. And you may be religious. There are some people who are religious, not just moral, but they are religious. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They're faithful church attenders, or they may do this, or may sing in the choir, may do the other. But they've never been born again by the grace of God. They don't have a new nature. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them. They don't have really an appetite for the Word of God or things of God. Those people are deceived and doomed. You say, Brother Billy, how can that be? I tell you, there's a verse in the Bible that said they stand before Him one of these days, and they said, Lord, have we not done these things, these miracles and all this other stuff? And He said, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. They could have been good, moral people. They could have been religious people. But if you're not saved, if you don't have salvation, you're deceived and you're doomed to spend eternity in a place called hell. I rode down, Regina and I went down and went to a little thing for our granddaughter, a Thanksgiving thing at Carolina Beach on Thursday morning, and heard Brother Ralph preach that night at Cape Fear Baptist Church, Brother Ralph Sexton. But before he started preaching, he said they had a young man in their church that got burned over about 85% of his body. And then before we left, he had got a call, a contact, the boy died. And I thought, how horrible to burn to death. But can you imagine to be burned, but not be able to die? To be in a flame of fire and hell for all eternity, tormented day and night with no peace. I thank God I'm not going to hell. I want to thank God for my salvation. Thank God that He saved me. I'm a lot like Brother Don Harrell used to say. I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not where I'm going to be. I thank God I'm saved. I'm saved. Are you saved? The Bible says this, you can know that you're saved. He said, make your call and your election sure. He said in 1 John, these things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life and that you might believe in the name of the Son of God. You can know that you're saved. Not a church member, not a good moralist, not a good citizen, not a religious person, but born again by the grace of God. Everybody's got a Bible here. I want you to look at something. Very simple. I just felt like God wanted me to do this morning. If you don't have a Bible, look in the pew right in front of you. Should be a Bible there. And open your Bible, please. Follow with me, and you might write the scriptures down. And many of you would know this, know everything I'm fixing to say. But I want you to be patient and prayerful and ask God to help us. It's important to go to church. It is important to be baptized. But I will greatly rejoice in my salvation. I know I'm saved. I know heaven's my home. And how can you know that? How can you know that? Well, the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. I wouldn't lie to you for anything in the world particular about this. I wouldn't deceive you in any way about your salvation. I want you to know the truth of the Word of God. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. I wouldn't lie to you, but sometimes I can be mistaken. But this book won't ever be wrong. This book is always right. Look in Romans, if you will, please, chapter number 3. Did I say that? Romans chapter 3 to begin with. And look at these verses with me and listen as I read, and you may write them down. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person, the sound of my voice in this building, and every person in the media audience, this is us, all, A-L-L. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If I compare myself to some people, spiritually, I guess, I do pretty good. If I compare myself to some morally, I do pretty good. There are some probably above me in every one of those areas. But that's not what this can be considered. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the glory of God, and we don't come close to Him. All have sinned. That means we transgressed God's law. We've broken God's command. Every person is a sinner, born into the human race as a sinner. Turn over to chapter number 5 and look at verse number 12. Chapter 5, verse 12 of Romans. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I don't have to ask you, if you're an honest man or woman or boy or girl here this morning, have you ever sinned? Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Have you ever lusted? Have you ever coveted? Have you ever stole? Have you ever broken any of God's commandments? How about loving with all your heart, mind, and soul? That's a commandment. And if you don't do that, that's a sin. But the Bible said all have sinned, and it came into the world through Adam. Adam sinned, and everybody born after him, born in Adam's race, had that nature to sin. We lean towards sinning. And it says here in the Bible, whereby sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's me and that's you. Everybody in this building, everybody in the sound of my voice, we've sinned. Whether you believe the Bible or not, whether you believe anything about God or not, the Bible said all have sinned. And regardless of whether you believe, it's a reality. You've sinned against God. But now notice what it said. And it said, and so death passed upon all men, and that all have sinned. You may not believe in God, you may not believe in sin, but do you believe in cemeteries? Do you believe you've had a mama or a daddy or a child or a neighbor, anybody to die? Why do they die? With all of this great technology we have, all the medical advances, why do they die? The wages of sin is death. That's the next verse. But I want you to look over in chapter number 3 and here in this passage of Scripture, again, in chapter 5, rather, he said this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. There is hanging over every person in this room a sentence of death. Why? Look over in chapter 6 and at verse 23. It's right there across the page. For the wages of sin is death. The payment. Wages is payment. Wages is something you earn, something you deserve. And because we've sinned and because all have sinned, there is death hanging over us. That is the wage or the payment of sin. The payment on sin is death. Because we disobey God, because we sin, it brings death. He's the God who gives life. But because we alienated from Him and we've committed sin and we're dead in trespasses and sin, death is imminent. Death is hanging over every one of us. And to die lost means to die and be in hell for all eternity. The wages of sin is death. What a horrible, horrible thing to think about, that the wages of sin is death. The payment on it. Because of sin, we have to die. Look back in chapter number 5. God looked down through time, and He knew that man would sin. You should have been in Sunday school class this morning. And before the foundation of the world, the Bible said that He was slain, the Lord, before the foundation of the world in the mind of God. There was a remedy for sin, there's a cure for sin, and it was in the eternal mind of God in eternity past. It became reality one day when God, His Son, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, was buried and rose again. And what did He do? Look in chapter 5 of the book of Romans in verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. People tell me all the time, Brother Billy, I need to go to church. Well, you need to go to church, but that won't save you. I need to do better. You can do a lot better, but that won't save you. He died for the ungodly. You say, Brother Billy, you don't know what I've done. No, but He did. And He died for you. Do you understand that? He didn't die for good church Sunday-going people. He died for the ungodly. because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And you either pay that yourself or accept what He did for you. And so He wanted you to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish. Notice what it says further in chapter 5 and verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. What's that mean? There's some people you die for. A guy come in your home and say, I'm going to kill you, or kill your wife, or kill your daughter, or kill your son. I'm going to kill you. You say, kill me. But there's people across the world. There's people other places that you don't know anything about them. And if they choose, he said, you die or they die. It wouldn't be quite as easy or difficult decision for us. But now notice what it says here in this passage. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure some would dare to die. In other words, some people you'd die for, but some people you probably wouldn't die for. Verse number 8. But God commended, that means God showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, I want you to read this part with me. Start with the word Christ. Read it with me. Christ died for us. He was absolutely sinless. The wages of sin is death. He died. People die because of sin, but He didn't have any sin, but yet He died. Why did He die? Read it again. Christ died for us. He paid your sin debt. That's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in His own body on the tree, and He died and He paid all of my sin debt, all of your sin debt. What I could not do, He did for me. He paid my sin debt. That's what He did. He died in that place. It's just as if somebody was in a prison and they were fined $1 million, and it could be a lot less than that for me. They said, you'll stay in this prison and die until you pay that man. No way in the world I could pay it. But just suppose you in that situation, and all of a sudden somebody that you did not know came up and spoke to the judge and spoke to the jailer and said, what will it take to get him out of there? They said, $1 million. And he takes out his checkbook and he writes a check for $1 million, and he pays the debt, and he opens the door and lets you go free. That's what Christ did on the cross. Every one of your sins, He bore in His own body on the tree, and He died to pay that sin debt. And it's been paid in full. He loved the whole world so much, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, you say, Brother Billy, if that's true, turn over to Romans chapter 10. He said, if that's true, I must be saved. While you find Romans chapter 10, I'm going to quote again for you Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You have Romans 10? I have it right there in front of you now. I want you to look at it in a minute. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Wages is something you earn and something you deserve, but salvation is not something we earn, and it's not even something we deserve. The wages of sin is death. The payment, what you deserve because of your sin, what you earned, is death. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. Now, I could go over here somewhere and buy you a gift. I could go to the Dollar General store and buy you a really nice gift. I could wrap it in a nice package. I could write your name on it. I could write Chuck on it. I could write John on it. I could write Regina on it. I could write any name of whoever I loved enough to buy it for them. I love them. I bought it, wrapped it up, put it there, and it's yours. But it has your name on it. And for you to enjoy it, you have to receive it. We've lived away from home for a very long time. I actually only got to see Dallas, my brother, maybe once a year for the last many years. He was in Vietnam, two tours, and then we lived so far apart, and I was in Florida pastoring and in Georgia pastoring. But my brother next to me, Howard, lives right next door to my mama, and she's in heaven now. But as folks do, they had a falling out. And so we were coming back and forth. This is earlier part of our life. We may have been in school in Tennessee, I don't know. But we came over to mama's, and she had gifts for everybody, and she always get everybody a little something, a pair of socks or anything. She gave everybody something. And so when the little gifts were given out, we'd given our gifts. There were some packages under the tree. I didn't say anything about it, but my brother and his family didn't come over that night. We always got together. I didn't know what was going on. We were there for a few days, and then we're getting ready to go back to wherever we were staying at, Tennessee or Florida, wherever. And mama wanted to know if I'd come over and help her put stuff up in the attic. She got one of those disappearing stairwell things. And so me and Charles, I think, went over there, and we were putting the stuff up, and he was bringing me stuff, and I was putting it up in overhead. And he brought a box, and it was a beautifully wrapped gift up on top of it, and it had a name on it, Howard. That's my brother, the one who lived next door to her. She had bought him a gift, and she loved him, whatever had went on. She'd forgot about that, or even while they were crossed up one night. She bought him a gift and had it wrapped and had his name on it. I don't know if it's still in the attic or not. The house has been sold. I don't know if he ever got that gift or not. But I know it was bought for him and paid for. But he didn't receive it. And so you have a gift available to you. You can go to heaven. You can't go to heaven by joining Benson Grove Baptist Church or by being baptized or by doing better. All of your righteousness is filthy rags. Not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Except you be born again, you cannot go to heaven. So how do you get the gift? How do you receive the gift? Look in chapter 10 and verse number 9 of Romans chapter 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is on this condition. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Only those who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will not perish. Everybody else will perish. If you'll believe, you must believe that he lived, he bore your sin to the cross, he died, was buried, and he was resurrected. If you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ from the heart. I illustrated this way, and I did it on a little thing I did to put on our video at the church. If you cross the desert and you're dying of thirst, you're blistered, your lips are cracked and begin to bleed. You were to the point of dehydration and almost impending death. And I walk up to you with a big old quart jar and I said, here's some good well water. Here's some water. You look at it and you say, Brother Billy, I don't believe you'd lie to me. I believe that's water. It's in a container that holds water. I believe that's water. That looks like water. I believe it's water. You would die believing if you did not receive the water and drink the water. Did you know the devil believes and trembles? He's not going to be in heaven. He said, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who will confess with their mouth and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down at verse number 10, of verse number 13 in chapter 10. Verse 13, Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There has to be a time in your life when you recognize that you're a sinner by the work of the Holy Spirit of God who came to convict the world of sin, righteous judgment. You must be lost, and you must know you're lost, and you must know that without Christ you'll die and go to hell. But he died to save you. He didn't want you to go to hell. And he offers it to you free. But he said, if you will but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's it mean? I believe a believing heart is a calling heart. I believe it's a heart that says, I believe that Jesus Christ bore my sin. I believe He died for me, was buried, and rose again. You promised to save me. I believe that You're alive, You're real. Come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Save me right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Billy, that's simple. Absolutely. We are admonished, and He admonished the church that they not be moved from the simplicity that's in Christ. He wanted everybody to be saved. You don't have to have any educational background. You don't have any ethical background, no racial background. Hey, red or yellow, black or white, they're precious in His sight. He gave this gospel to the whole world. If you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon Him, He'll save you. I'm going to turn back quickly. You don't have to, but you can make a note of it. I'm going to turn back to Psalms, and I want to look at Psalms number 86 and read a verse to you here just real quick. Be the last verse this morning. In Psalms 86 and verse number 5, and listen to this wonderful verse. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Boy, I love that. You say, I'm not ready, but He's ready. He's ready. Lord, Thou art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Would you bow your heads in prayer? I asked you a while ago if you thank God for your salvation. I'm not here to cause you to doubt your salvation, but to help you rejoice in your salvation. If you know those things are true in your life, I'm glad. But if you're in this building this morning, and there never was a time when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there never was a time when you knew you were lost and you needed to be saved, and you called on Him. You don't have to use any particular words, but you believed that Jesus loved you and He died for you. At that moment in time, you received the Lord Jesus Christ. You believed on Him. You called on Him to forgive you of all your sin and to save you. And I'm telling you right now, I don't want you to be, I don't want to deceive you. I don't want to tell you wrong, but as clearly as I know, that's the gospel. That's the message. I want you to rejoice greatly in your salvation, that it's real. I mean, God's done a work in your heart. Heaven's real. The vast majority of people will ignore that message, discount that message, and reject that message. For those of you who the Holy Ghost of God has spoken to, and He put this on my heart for a reason this morning, you may be in the building, you may be in the media audience, you may be listening in by means of radio, but He wants you to know He loves you, and He's ready to forgive, and He's full of mercy, and He'll answer those who call upon Him and forgive and save if you'd call on Him. Why don't you right now in your own words turn to Him? Acknowledge your sin, believing that He died for you, say it for your sin, and you right now call on Him and ask Him to save you. Would you do that here in the building? There are friends here who'd love to rejoice with you about that. There are men who pray with the men, ladies who pray with ladies around this altar. I invite you this morning. I don't want anybody to die with a question mark. I want you to know that there has to be a time when you're born again. There has to be a time when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and He made a change in your life. You know you're different and people around you know you're different. Has that happened to you? If not, believe on Him this morning. Call on Him this morning. I want us to stand with our heads bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Brad's, Ms. Juanita's going to sing a verse of a song here this morning. But would you trust Christ this morning? You say, Brother Bill, I just don't know for sure. You can, these things have I written in you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know it. You can sure know it. Make you call an election, sure, that you would know it. You can know it. Our Heavenly Father, I've obeyed You this morning as best I know how. the simplicity of the gospel message. I thank God for my salvation. And God, I pray, God, and that every person in this building knows they've been born again. Pray, our Father, they may not remember the time or the hour, but they remember the experience. They know they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that they've been saved. They know it. But God, if there's a question mark, I pray, God, they this morning would humbly bow right where they are and ask you to come in their heart and save them. God, many may need to come to the altar or want to come to the altar. There are those who are saved who may want to come to the altar and just thank God for their salvation. But God, you do in their heart and life what needs to be done. These are your people. You called me to preach the gospel. Now it's their responsibility to react to the gospel accordingly, to believe and be saved or to reject and be eternally lost. I pray, God, some would trust Christ this morning. Right where you are, in your own words, will you call on Him from the depths of your heart? Believe in your heart, the Bible said, not your head, but your heart, and receive Him right now. We sure would love to know it if you do. You obey Christ. Many are coming to the altar this morning. And if you'll come, bow around here or stand to pray, either one. While Ms. Juanita sings, you obey Christ this morning.